The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything.
All right, so Ozuna just hit another monster home run for the Braves. His second home run of the night. The first one went to left field off the upper second deck signage. And then just now off of Floro, he hit a bomb to dead center field. I mean, all the way out. I mean, this guy jacked the ball. Like, they're showing it over and over again. He just lit this thing up. All the way out, like to 415, 420 feet, dead center field. The guy's got two. He's taking selfies going around the bases, humiliating the Dodgers. Then when he went in the dugout, they do a full team selfie there. And I guess my question to you is, Carver High, at 8-2, this game's over. They're up 3-1.
Yep.
If they beat them tomorrow and win the series, do the Dodgers fire Dave Roberts?
If the Dodgers lose tomorrow and they lose the series in five, I think he gets fired.
Because it's the same thing every year.
It's year after year. It just goes on and on. Now, to be fair, like, I mean, where are you going here? Like, you had Mattingly, you have Roberts. Everybody gets to like the same spot. They just never win. I don't know. They like Roberts a lot. Everybody thinks he's another one. Everybody thinks he's a genius, but he wins 100 games every year. You know, that's the it's like with Aaron Boone. Like, everybody thinks he's a genius. He wins 100 games every year, but they don't get it done when it matters. Just don't.
Yeah, so a lot of people in the church are enjoying this radical college football game tonight. And Arkansas State just scored to take the lead. It's 52-49. Can you believe they're over a buck? I mean, they're over a C note in points. That is just crazy. When we come back, we're going to spend the next entire, I think, 10 minutes talking bad about Le'Veon Bell. Just because we can.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Pharrell on the bench. So Le'Veon Bell decided today to go to the Kansas City Chiefs. So he goes to the Super Bowl champs, and he's got a one-year deal. And people had suggested, you know, that he was going to go to Miami. We thought he'd go to Miami. We thought he'd end up in the 305 because, you know, when he bolted on the Steelers for a year, that's where he hung out. He loves Miami. And then in Miami, he would have been a starter immediately, and he would have gotten burned, and they would have given him the ball, and they would have thrown it to him. They would have done everything. And, you know, I think he would have fit in there perfectly. With Kansas City, now we're going to see if they bench this rookie. Do you think they're going to bench the rookie for this guy and then go with Bell the rest of the season and not play this kid that they love so much?
No,
that everybody says he's doing a great job.
I think they're going to play both of them. And I don't think you've seen the same production from Clyde Helaire the last couple weeks like you did in the first game where he really busted out against the Texans. I don't think it's been the same the last few weeks. I think it would be good for them to get maybe a little mix and take a little bit of burden off the rookie. And you put Bell in there, who's obviously going to be motivated. Clearly, he wanted to win. We thought that he would want to sit by the pool. That was what we thought. He obviously wants to win, and Andy Reid has told him he's going to get the rock a little bit. So he's going to go try to get a ring with the Chiefs. He'll probably score. You know, he's not going to play this week. He will not play against the Bills on Monday because he has to pass a bunch of COVID protocols before he can get in the building over there in Kansas City. So he'll probably play the week after that. And he'll probably score two or three touchdowns. Isn't that the way it always works, Scott? He's going to be a model citizen there.
Is it definitive that he's not playing against the Bills?
Yeah, because it's like a five-day period or something like that. You've got to pass two or three tests. Even though he was just in the Jet building, he's got to start the process all over again going into the Chief building. So he's not going to play on Monday.
All right. Well, do you feel that, like, so – there was a lot of people that didn't understand, apparently, the essence of why the Jets couldn't trade him. And it was real simple. I've talked about this a million times on the show. This was not about nobody wanted him. It was about the fact that nobody wanted his contract. Nobody wanted his $8 million insurance guarantee for next year. And if you picked him up in a trade, you were getting that $8 million.
Yeah, automatic. If he gets hurt, you got to pay it.
So the other thing is that this deal, you knew when he cleared waivers, whatever, that it was going to be $28 million that they paid him guaranteed. And then they were going to pay him. The Jets are paying him $6 million the rest of the way. So the team that gets him, in my opinion, am I crazy? They barely had to pay him anything.
Right. It's not going to be a lot. I'm sure we'll get the details on the contract. Basically, that like $5.9 million that the Jets owe him for the rest of the season, whatever he makes from his new team, that gets subtracted off of what the Jets owe him. So he gets the $5.9 no matter what. And let's say he makes, let's just say the Chiefs give him $2 million. Let's just throw a number out there. I don't think he's going to get that much even. But if it's two, then the Chiefs will pay him the two. And the Jets have to pay him the other 3.9. So he gets 5.9 or whatever the number is. And right. The Jets are on the hook for whatever the other team isn't giving him.
So when he played with the Jets, he had 800 yards in the ballpark and he was worthless. And he literally did nothing the entire time he played for the Jets. I mean, what, he scored three touchdowns and had 800 yards. So a lot of people said that he was shot. That after Pittsburgh burned him out for 30 carries a game and 15 passes, every single game. They threw the ball to him a lot, and they handed off to him a lot. So they wore him down in all of his Pro Bowl years and playoff years with the Steelers. And he went to the Jets, and he was worthless. And remember, he sat out 2018. So then he went to the Jets, and he was there last year, and he did absolutely nothing. And then this year was even worse. He played like one game, then he got injured, hammy, and they sat him down for three, right? So he's literally done absolutely nothing. And he made $28 million guaranteed, and now they owe him six, let's say 5.9. What's the difference? And now he's going to play for Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes and the Super Bowl champs. He did nothing with the Jets, as I've said repeatedly. Do you believe that he is going to do anything with the Chiefs? I mean, you think he's going to take off and explode?
Yeah. I think he's going to, explode. I don't know if you're going to see the Le'Veon Bell of, 4 years ago with the Steelers, but I think he's going to be very active. I think that they will get him very involved. I think that they will use him in the pass game. This is a very high-powered offense that already is a well-oiled machine. And I think you put a player of his caliber in there. And I know that, like Costello said to you yesterday, because he said that, he looks like maybe he has lost a little bit of a step from a few years ago. Yeah, I think that even with the little bit of a lost step, he's going to go in that Kansas City offense. And I think he's going to do work and he's going to put up numbers.
Do you believe that he actually, because he played on such a crappy team, that was why he didn't do anything? Because they have no one up front, no talent. I mean, the Jets literally are like a Pop Warner team. They have no talent. They have absolutely, they got this kid, Becton, whatever, the draft pick, right?
And yeah, he's not even playing right now.
Right, he didn't even play. So they've never had a line. They have no receivers. They have their quarterbacks out. Their defense is laughable. Their coach is a joke. Do you think that his entire time in New York was just a waste for him because the team was so awful and he actually was the only guy that actually had any talent and they just didn't do anything right at all to get him the ball or to block for him or to pass it to him or do anything to utilize his skills? Or do you think he just has fallen off since he sat out a year?
I think that there's definitely a little bit of blame to go on both sides. I don't think that the Jets, like you said, they're like a Pop Warner team, especially this year. Last year, they were a little bit better. They closed very well. What, they win 7 of their last 8 games. But this year, you could see that the talent, especially on offense, it is dreadful. Just dreadful talent around them. The offensive line is brutal. And he hasn't really played this year. He's played 2 games. He played the first game, missed 3 games, and then he was back in there this week against Arizona where he complained that they weren't throwing him the football. So I think there's a little bit of blame on the Jets on how bad they were and how they utilized him. And I think there's also a little bit of blame that once they started to be awful, I think that he might have checked out a little bit. So I think it goes both ways, but the Jets do stink, and that had something to do with it.
So what was the guy's name, Blount, that ended up, leaving the Steelers and then becoming huge with the Patriots and everything?
LeGarrette Blount, yes.
And didn't he run with the Eagles too?
Yes.
So do you think he's going to do as well as Blount did?
Look, I think that he's going to contribute big time to Kansas City, and if they win again this year, he'll have a hand in it. I do believe that. He's not going to go there and sit on the sideline or not do anything when he's got the rock. He's going to get the rock from these guys in open space, and he's going to make something happen with it. I just believe that.
So do you think that the Chiefs are going to repeat as Super Bowl champs? Do you think they're as good as everybody thinks they are? Because I have my reservations. Not because of the Raiders game either, but just, I've kind of been talking about this for 7 months. About how they're guaranteeing all these Super Bowls in Kansas City and that they're going to win. We heard 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 in a row. Like, it just makes me laugh. Now, I don't deny that Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, I like Kelce for sure. I think they have other receivers that are good as well. I think their coach is good, Reed. I think their defense is good. I don't think it's great. So just think about that. I mean, do you think they're going to repeat? Like, everybody else thinks this is just such a walk in the park for them to repeat. And that, and they have Le'Veon Bell now, so they're just going to win the Super Bowl. I'm not buying it. I'm just not buying it. I'm not. So we'll come back with Joe Lisi and talk college football.
Hey, everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Pharrell on the bench. I'm watching, you know, everything, but I've had my eyes on this Arkansas State-Georgia State game. 7:20 left in the game. It's 52-49 Arkansas State. Georgia State has the ball in the red zone right now, moving in, 3rd and 5. And, I mean, they can tie it with a field goal, and they can take the lead, obviously, with a touchdown. This game has literally, I lost track. It's gone back and forth so crazily. Like, it was 7-all, 14-all, 21-all, 28-all. 35-all, 42-all, I think. And then it was 45-42. Then it started getting weird after they broke the, you know, the touchdown ties. Joe Lisi is College Football Today on Sports Grid, and he does Thursday nights with us on the bench every week to talk about all the games on Friday and Saturday in college football. How you doing, Joe?
I'm doing well, Scotty. I wish I had the over in this Arkansas State Georgia State game because it was never in doubt. Yeah, I almost had it by halftime.
Right. This is crazy. Now, this kid's kicking a 29-yarder, but there's still a lot of time left in this game, Joe. I mean, the way they've scored, he ties it, he makes the kick. So it's 52 apiece. I mean, it's just insane the amount of points scored, but there's still 7 minutes left in the game. I'm not going to be surprised at all if we see two more touchdowns.
Yeah, you might even see three. I mean, college football has been crazy, Scotty. There's been no defense in terms of any of these teams. I don't care what team it is, if it's Alabama, Clemson. I mean, teams are giving up chunks of yardage, especially at the end of the games. And in terms of betting a favorite, at this point in the season, it's going to be very difficult laying anything over 3 points. You're never secure in terms of these matchups.
So let me ask you, I asked this today. I was talking to Matt Mershell of the Orlando Sentinel about, and I think I may have asked Carver High this question. I want to ask you this question. Do you think that the Big Ten and the Pac-12 are starting to regret their decision to play football starting next week with the Big Ten and then the week after, whatever, with the Pac-12 that they're going to start up? As they're watching every week, more and more games get postponed, more and more schools getting hit with the COVID, more and more, the SEC's just getting hammered right now with it. Ole Miss is hammered with it. Alabama's Nick Saban's got it. It goes on and on and on with the amount of teams that have a problem with this. Do you think that? So what I was saying to you, Joe, before I lost you was, do you think the Big Ten made that they feel like they're going to regret their decision to go back and play football with everything that's happening now with the COVID?
I don't think so, Scotty. I think, you know, when you just look at the schedule, we had to expect that games would be postponed and canceled. And if you look at just the staggered schedule right now with the Pac-12 and the Big Ten starting next weekend, for the most part, we're going to have a complete college football season. So It's not the way we would normally see it, but I still think that we can get all these games in, just might trickle into, you know, the third or fourth week of December. But I think ultimately it's the right decision for both conferences, because the SEC and the other conferences are going to move forward and they're losing out on revenue. So from that type of standpoint, I don't think they'll regret it if they get started.
So Arkansas State scored immediately after that field goal, and they're up again 59-52 in that game. Can you believe how fast they struck?
It's unbelievable. The kid hit a slant pattern, and he got tackled by his shoelace. And then on the next play, two plays later, they do a reverse, and it was executed perfectly. I mean, just an unbelievable pass. Nobody covered the wide receiver after he pitched the ball to his teammate. Down the sideline, wide open, just a great play. But, I mean, 4.5 minutes left, Georgia State and their quarterback Brown looks like they can definitely score at least one more time before this game's over.
So what do you think, Joe Lisi with us from College Football Today, do you think that Saban's absence is going to affect Alabama in a big way in this game against Georgia?
I don't know if it does, Scotty. I mean, for the simple fact that Sarkisian's there, right? He's a former head coach at USC in Washington. He won't be rattled in terms of the game environment. And you know Nick, right? He's going to be there. He's going to have an input in terms of what he wants to see. It might even be a benefit. I mean, this defense overall, Scott, in terms of Alabama, is not the typical Alabama defense. They're allowing 54% third down conversions. And more importantly, over 280 passing yards per game. Lane Kiffin put up over 600 on that defense last week. So to me, this game comes down to whichever team can run the football more effectively and shut down the run. I'll still give the slight edge to Alabama right now. 28-1 at home in Bryant-Denny since 2016. That's a dynamic home record.
So when you saw Lane Kiffin's offense do that to Alabama, what were you thinking? Like, were you stunned as I was at how bad Alabama was defensively, or were you more surprised at how quickly Lane Kiffin has caught on at Ole Miss with his wild offense?
Well, I think it's twofold. I think it's to your point about Lane Kiffin. I think he understands the personnel of Alabama and understands what Nick runs in terms of a defensive perspective and how to attack that. And it started last year. Alabama's defense in terms of run support had one of their worst rushing defenses since prior to 2009. And when you look at what Trevor Lawrence did a couple of years ago and what some teams did against them in recent years, like Joe Burrow, you can attack that defense vertically, and that's what Matt Corral and Ole Miss did last week. So credit Lane Kiffin. He had the right scheme, had the right personnel to run that type of offense, and they attacked Alabama. Now, the difference is I'm not so sure that Georgia has the type of offensive scheme and personnel with Stetson Bennett to run that type of style that Ole Miss ran last weekend.
You know, they seem to be falling in love with this quarterback, Georgia, that you're talking about, Bennett. Do you think that he's as good as they think he is? And do you think that their defense is, as advertised, allegedly the best in the country?
No and no. And I'm a Georgia
fan. Yeah, I'm with you.
And I'll
I'm
say,
with you.
I'll say that straight up. I think more importantly, Scotty, I think Georgia's success is really a testament to the offenses of both Tennessee and Auburn. I mean, they're good offenses. They're not elite offenses in terms of what Nick has with Devonta Smith, Jalen Waddle, Najee Harris, and Mac Jones. And we're going to get a good understanding about how good Georgia is in the first half, because I equate this game to like a basketball game. Georgia wants to run a half-court type of offense, slow down the tempo, and Alabama wants to run fast pace and press. So whichever team could dictate the tempo early, I think, wins this ballgame. Playing at home, I think it's Mac Jones. I think they just have way too many offensive weapons for Georgia to match up.
Yeah, I'm with you on this game. And so when it was 6, I liked Alabama. When it moved to 4.5, whatever, were you on them at 6 too?
Yeah, I was on them at 6.5, actually. So I got a bad line with Alabama, and then when Nick was out, it's down to 3, 3.5 in terms of the FanDuel. But and think of this too, it's the lowest spread outside of LSU for Alabama at home, not on a neutral field or a road game, since 2010 when they played in the Iron Bowl. So think about that. That just shows what Vegas thinks about Georgia. They're a good team. I just don't know if they're elite at this particular point in the season.
So I have to ask you about A&M as they go to Starkville to take on Mississippi State. And a big, huge 3rd-and-10 completion for Georgia State as they keep moving with about 3:09 left in the game. I got my eyes on this football game for us. So A&M, I was not that impressed, to be honest with you. I said this on Coast to Coast today. With their performance, frankly, against Florida, I thought Florida blew the game. And I'm not just blown away whatsoever with Kellen Mond and the whole Jimbo Fisher. Oh, Jimbo finally beat a top-ranked team. I wasn't really impressed that much, to be honest with you, with A&M. Now they go to Mississippi State to take on Mike Leach, whose team went from glory against LSU to they've hit the garbage pail ever since. I don't know what's happened to them. I mean, honestly, like Costello, how do you throw for 630 yards against LSU? I don't care who you're playing on LSU. Where you play them in Baton Rouge. I don't care if they're all freshmen. I don't care about anything. You're paying Orgeron that kind of money. LSU is supposed to be better than that. They got lit up, right? And then what happened? Mm-hmm. And then Mississippi State went in the toilet. So what am I supposed to believe going into that game? Is A&M good? Is Mon good? Is Mississippi State that bad?
No, I don't think Miss State is that bad. I think what happened against LSU is, you know, LSU is not typically used to seeing that type of wide open offense, right? And with the attrition that they had with a week one matchup, it's great to practice it, right? But it's different in game type of situations and game speed, much like the triple option. The first time you see it, you really have to adjust on the fly. And without Derek Stingley and without some of those senior leaders on that defense, it was a very difficult transition for LSU to make week number one. Then here comes Arkansas. There's game film from a defensive perspective, so you can actually get a better understanding about what the offense is trying to do, and I think that's why Arkansas and Kentucky had success. But I'm not sold on Kellen Mond. I'm not sold on the consistency from game to game, week to week, and I'm still not sold on the secondary at Texas A&M. So capping this game against Mike Leach, he's a better underdog than he is a favorite. I'm going to take the points with Mississippi State. I think they bounce back in a big way. They put the pressure on A&M. They might not win, but I think they'll be in this ball game and cover the 6.5-point number.
Yeah, I'm with you. It went from, I got it at 6.5 like you did. It's moved to 5, unless I'm mistaken. So, all right, so Pharrell with you. I don't know what just happened. Georgia State just threw a bomb. It was incomplete. Was that fourth down? Were they going for it on fourth down?
I think I'm on a little delay here.
That was fourth down. So now they've given up the ball and they're in big trouble. I don't even know why he was trying to do that. It was. I think it was 4th and 10. What's he throwing two straight bombs for? It was 4th and 5. Why do you throw two straight bombs? Like, what are you doing? Just get the first down and keep moving. Joe,
yeah, that he threw it into double coverage too. I mean, I agree with that. You know, and that's the problem. What makes elite quarterbacks? You don't need elite arm strength. As long as you can lead your team, you have to understand the situation. Four more downs in that type of situation is more critical than trying to get the score. There's still 2 minutes left. They still have 2 timeouts. So a poor decision by Brown to go over the top. But hopefully, I mean, Georgia State can stop them and get the ball back with maybe a minute left.
Yeah, I don't like their chances now. I think they screwed up with the going deep on 3rd and 4th down. It was 3rd and 5 and 4th and 5, and you throw 2 bombs. He threw both of them down to the 10-yard line into double coverage. It was terrible. You know, they seem to be falling in love with this quarterback, Georgia, that you're talking about, Bennett. Do you think that he's as good as they think he is? And do you think that their defense is, as advertised, allegedly the best in the country?
No and no. And I'm a Georgia
fan. Yeah, I'm with you.
And
I'll say,
I'll say that straight up. I think more importantly, Scotty, I think Georgia's success is really a testament to the offenses of both Tennessee and Auburn. I mean, they're good offenses. They're not elite offenses in terms of what Nick has with Devonta Smith, Jalen Waddle, Najee Harris, and Mac Jones. And we're going to get a good understanding about how good Georgia is in the first half, because I equate this game to like a basketball game. Georgia wants to run a half-court type of offense, slow down the tempo, and Alabama wants to run fast pace and press. So whichever team could dictate the tempo early, I think, wins this ball game. Playing at home, I think it's Mac Jones. I think they just have way too many offensive weapons for Georgia to match up.
So tomorrow there's actually two good games, Joe. SMU Tulane. I actually think that's going to be a good game. And the BYU Houston game. I think both those games are great. SMU's laying 6.5. BYU's laying 5. What do you think of SMU Tulane and BYU Houston?
Yeah, well, keep an eye out. I like Tulane in that matchup, and I know they didn't show well against Houston, but SMU's leading wide receiver, Reggie Roberson, is out. I think that's going to put some pressure on Shane Bouchel, a physical group in terms of run support and wants to run the football, and that's the weakness right now of SMU's defense. So give me Tulane plus the points, and I'm buying into BYU. I think they're the more physical team on the offensive and defensive lines. They can wear down Houston. And I'm still not sold on Holgorsen in a big spot. So give me BYU laying what I believe is a short number on the road against the Cougars.
Yeah, I got the same thing. I had BYU. I got 3.5. It moved to 5. I got it at 3.5, so I like that. And then I actually think SMU will beat Tulane on the road. But I took Tulane in the 7 when it came out, and it moved to 6.5. So I'm going to middle that one. Let's talk about Saturday. There are really 4 or 5 good games besides all the ones that got postponed and then the weaker games. But the good ones, let's start with them all. Like Louisville, Notre Dame, and South Bend. Notre Dame laying 17 to the 1-3 Cards.
Yeah, I took the Cards. I took them plus 16.5. I took them plus 17 in terms of that matchup. Keep in mind, these teams played week one last year. Louisville covered the 19-point number, lost by 18. To me, this is their Super Bowl. They lost 3 straight games. They're reeling, have nothing to play for, have a couple extra days in terms of preparation, playing last Friday night. So I think that'll benefit them. And they have the type of offensive weapons to go toe-to-toe with Notre Dame. Notre Dame, I think, will ultimately win. But I think this is a step up from Florida State. And I think Malik Cunningham steps up. He can break contain as well. I look for Louisville to cover that number Saturday afternoon.
So Clemson's playing at Bobby Dodd in Atlanta against Georgia Tech and laying 27 at noon on Saturday down in Hot Town.
Yeah, I'm taking the 27 and a hook. I like Georgia Tech. I like the way they're playing with Jeff Sims. I think they're buying in. Again, this is a typical letdown spot for Clemson playing Miami. I think they got some younger players involved. It's a road game. And to me, Jeff Collins is building a program there. I think, again, they're showing signs of success. They have some big play wide receivers like Malachi Carter. They can run the football. I'm taking the 27 and a hook right now. I'm not laying big numbers after the dominant performance against Miami. Clemson might win and cover, but I still like Georgia Tech plus the 27.5, especially the fact it's right under the 28. I think the psychological effect will have people betting Clemson. I want to be on the other side. Give me Georgia Tech with the points.
So what happened in that game was that Arkansas State's going to win, and it's getting a little chippy and ugly at the end. They're in victory formation. They got a first down on 3rd and 3, and then the Arkansas State coach is flipping out right now on the refs because he thinks that a kid came through the line and got dirty with his quarterback, and he's losing his mind right now. But here's the kicker. No one cares about the Arkansas State coach. No one knows him. No one's ever heard of him. He doesn't matter. He's getting his TV time now, but I still don't know who he is. So no one cares about your little temper tantrum, bro, or your crappy win over Georgia State. Let me tell you, Georgia State's coach, you can blame him for this loss, because when it's 4th and 3rd, and five and fourth and five, and you throw two bombs on the road. I don't know what you're thinking. They moved the ball the entire game, throwing it, dinking it, and dunking it. They should have just gotten the first down and kept going. Blame the Georgia State coach for screwing this game for his own kids.
Yeah, unbelievable. I'm watching it now. It gets chippy right now. It's crazy how some of these coaches just go for it all. It's amazing. It really is.
Carver High, what'd you want to say?
I mean, it's the kid's fault. I mean, he didn't take the knee. He takes the snap, and he's, like, messing around with the guy. You know, he didn't go right to take the knee. He was standing there, so the defensive end came over and, like, shoved him down. If you're going to take a knee, drop back and take the knee. He was standing there messing around trying to kill more of the clock.
So look at the end of the game, the coaches are shaking hands, but the players are still talking smack to one another. And they got this big drama scene at midfield, and now they're separating the teams because all of these kids can't figure out that they're all little immature children. They haven't figured out yet that they're supposed to be like, you know, young adults in college and represent their school, but they look like idiots. I mean, the entire game, I watched it. There was so much smack talk in this game. I actually saw Joe one play on a kickoff. The kid ran it back to the 50 and he got tackled finally and they threw flags, right? And then I saw a coach on Georgia State's team actually get in the kick returner's face and show him that it's holding and you're going back where you came from, like humiliating some kid right on the sideline. Like, that's as bad as watching a kid from what was it, Georgia against Tennessee, spraying a water bottle on the kid. Like,
yeah,
I mean what is wrong with some coach like getting in some kid's face and showing him you're going back where you started from because there's a holding flag, you idiot? Like, I can't even believe how I see some of these people behave.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Intensity in a college football game is ridiculous, and it's just what happens. I mean, it's unfortunate, and I agree with you. Sometimes these guys act like they're five, but we see it each and every. We even see it on the NFL level. NFL is getting the same way, Scotty. It's ridiculous now. Just play the game and shut up. I'm with you.
So this game, I think, is going to be great. Pitt and Miami. Remember when Miami beat Notre Dame in Hard Rock and it was sold out, and then the next week they went to Pitt and laid an egg, and then they never won again the rest of the season, the bowl game and everything. Do you think Pitt will give them problems at Hard Rock on Saturday? The number's 13 and a hook.
Yeah, I got 10 and a half, actually. I laid it earlier in the week with Miami. I think Miami's going to roll them. They won four of the last five by 13.2 points per game. Pitt's quarterback, Kenny Pickett, I watched that game. They cost me money last week against Boston College. The stupid kicker missed an extra point in overtime. I had him on the money, had him on the money line, had him plus 5.5, had him minus 1.5, I had him minus 5.5. It was ridiculous. But anyway, that being said, I think the matchup problem is Pitt's secondary over the last couple of weeks. Devin Leary, they gave up 334, four touchdowns, no interceptions. They met last week against BC. Phil Jurkovec, they made him look like Matt Ryan and Doug Flutie combined. 358 yards, three touchdowns, no interceptions. Blewett is all excited, but I think Pitt gets exposed by Miami's speed in this matchup. I'd still lay the 13.5, even though I got a good line at 10.5. Anything under 14, I think Miami rolls in this ballgame. And they're not out of it either. As long as they run the table, they could still face Clemson in the ACC championship game.
And get their ass beat again. South Carolina. Well, they will. Auburn and South Carolina. Auburn's laying 3.5 at Columbia.
Yeah, I almost made this a best bet, but I can't roll with Auburn anymore. I'm betting the game. I like Auburn. I think they match up well against Will Muschamp. I always call him Will Muschamp because him in a big spot is another situation. I know they got the win over Vanderbilt, but laying a short number on the road, I think Auburn can bounce back. Still not sold on the consistency of South Carolina. Give me the Tigers laying the 3.5 on the road tomorrow. Saturday.
I'm with you. Kentucky and Tennessee in Knoxville. Tennessee's laying 6.
Yeah, and this is an intriguing line because, you know, it's really 6, but at FanDuel it's 4.5. I took the 4.5. I took the 6. I really like Kentucky in this matchup. They impressed me last week against Costello. not sold on the mindset of Tennessee. And more importantly, I just think they're a more physical team that can run the football. I'll take my chances on the road, even though Kentucky lost this game last year in Lexington. I think they can wear down the Tennessee Volunteers in this ball game. I like them on the money line as well. I think they get the outright win on the road in Neyland Stadium.
Is the best game of the day on Saturday UCF at Memphis with UCF laying three? Is that? I think that game's delicious.
It is, and I'm betting the underdog here. I have Memphis plus the 3.5, have them on the money line. They haven't won against UCF since 1990. I mean, UCF's won the last four meetings by 12.5 points per game, but I said it earlier on the morning after. If you look at this game, it mirrors last year's Virginia Tech game, where Virginia lost 14 straight. The line is not indicative of the dominance for UCF, and UCF had road problems last year. I'm going to take Brady White in this spot, plus the 3.5, like him on the money line. I think they strike the outright victory. They're solid in run support as well. A different defense with Mike McIntyre. I like the Tigers.
What about North Carolina in Tallahassee against the Noles? They're laying 13.5. That North Carolina team's pretty tough. I got 45 seconds, Joe.
Yeah, I mean, I like Florida State first half. Just be careful. Tamorian Terry, their leading wide receiver, out with an ACL injury for Florida State. That's going to handcuff that offense. I still like Florida State from a first half perspective, but I like UNC to actually win the game.
And Vatek at home in Blacksburg against BC laying 12.
Yeah, I can't buy into BC. Give me Vatek laying the 12 points. I think they roll.
NC State at home against Duke laying 4.5.
Give me Duke plus the 4.5 in that matchup.
And West Virginia, Kansas, they laying 22 in Morgantown.
I'll take the 22.
All right, Joe. Good stuff, my man. Thanks for coming on. I'll see you next week. Enjoy the games this week. And there he is, Joe Lisi from College Football Today. All right, Pharrell and Ben, Sports Rage is up next with my boy Morency. I want to get his opinion on what he thinks is going to happen now that the Braves kick the Dodgers' ass and go up 3-1. Kershaw loses again. And then now tomorrow night they can eliminate the Dodgers, and then the Astros won again on a Correa walk-off. What do you think is going to happen in these two games on Friday after what happened today and tonight?
Well, considering I'm 5-1 in football tonight, Scotty, and 0-2 in baseball, I'm not so sure my opinion really matters. Man, the baseball playoffs have been wild, haven't they? Backwards all over the place. As soon as you think a team is done, they're not. Suddenly the Houston Astros are back in this thing, so I don't want to totally discount the Dodgers, but it's going to be hard to see them win three games in a row. I mean, it's more than just Kershaw, Scotty. I mean, they don't hit. When they get to the playoffs, they don't hit. And, you know, they played four games. So I'm not great at math, but what is that? So what, 36 innings? So we played 36 innings. How many innings have the Dodgers scored in? Four, five? Literally?
Yeah.
You know, they scored in two, you know, like honestly, Scotty, four or five innings off the top of my head if they scored out of 36. It's not Clayton Kershaw. You know, Clayton Kershaw, sure, whatever, he wasn't terrible. He wasn't great. It is what it is. I imagine Dave Roberts finally pays the price, but don't they kind of remind you of the Tampa Bay Lightning? And, you know, and like, you know, I thought the Lightning should have fired Cooper before, but should they have? He was a great coach, right? It's one of these weird deals, but I would assume, Scotty, that Roberts pays the price if they don't win.
Can you believe that tonight they had three hits? Rios had two of them. I mean, you're right. They just couldn't
That's
hit.
What I'm saying.
Do you think the
Is that
Astros
Kershaw's
would,
fault?
Do you,
Is that,
well,
you know what I'm saying? Like, it's in every up, damn year, Scotty.
He gave up a lot of runs. He's once again, he lost. All he does is lose big games. That's it. I'm done talking about Kershaw. All he does is lose. So what? Will the Astros win tomorrow and force a game seven now that they've won two in a row?
Yes, I'm going to say they do. I think they've got the momentum now.
Yeah, it's crazy, right? So have a great show, Morency. I'll see you guys tomorrow at 4 on Coast to Coast. Good night, everybody.
Hey, everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Chumba. Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Time is valuable. That's why Lowe's Blueprint Takeoffs turn blueprints into quotes faster. Bring us your plans, and we'll generate itemized material lists to make quoting easier so you can get back to building. Plus, at the Lowe's Pro Desk, you get access to thousands of building materials not sold in store. And when your order's ready, we'll deliver everything to the job site. Improving is easy at Lowe's.